of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sitting me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, yo.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches. They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit. Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
Hi, guys, and welcome. This is our very first live podcast where we are in front of an audience of people who are staring at us, which is interesting to say that. I know what a goldfish feels like, is all I can say right now. I totally feel like a goldfish. Not to mention the fact we're surrounded by rain and water. So.
Connie, I just realized something. I don't think you have been on stage since the 7th grade when you were Kate in Taming of the Shrew.
No, that's not true. I was, yeah. Sabrina,
oh, that's right.
Sabrina was there. I played in Rocky Horror Picture Show. I was Dr. Frightenfurger. I might have had a few shots before I put on the corset.
She definitely
and the,
had a
and the whole tights
so that's
and all
twice.
That kind of stuff.
You've been on stage twice.
Yes.
And this
that
is
was,
your first time either not
I'm
a child
sober
or
this
sober.
Time, so it's a completely different experience.
We're in for some excitement.
Yes. I would just like to welcome everybody. We're excited that people came out to see us, even though it is pouring rain right now.
Okay, but so
but it is Oregon.
It is
Oregon.
Totally Oregon. This is actually what's fun
could
for
be
me
worse. Could
is
be worse.
This event, CWPPD, Columbia Willamette Pagan Pride Day, brought me into community. I met someone 7 years ago who, it was actually 8 years ago that I met her. They were in the process of planning one and found out from Courtney that, oh, you know who's good at planning events? Kanani's really good at planning events. She's super organized. They ended up reeling me in as a volunteer.
And
started out.
And your fate was sealed.
I know. And this is my 7th year
of planning
this
event. Which is my nice way
of
saying, Kanani has some control issues.
Yes.
This would be a good way for her to work them out.
Yes. That didn't work out that way, though.
Yes, because the benefit is, yeah.
Now, instead, I'm helping to plan this every year, and I'm the president of Other Worlds of Wonder, and it has snowballed into all of these other community involvements. But it is literally this festival that brought me into community. So this is one of my favorite events that happen every year. And I think this is the 3rd year it's rained. So 3 out of 7, this
that's
is not
bad.
That,
that's
know,
not bad.
Which wasn't that peculiar to me to have it raining
no.
the whole time. So
well, it's also, again, Oregon.
Yes.
Because I've done pagan prides all around the country. And this would have shut down most of them.
Oh, yeah.
It would have
oh,
been
not
like,
this
oh,
one.
No.
And here people
this
are like,
too cool.
It's not even raining that hard.
It's like,
yeah.
Like
it's
two,
not even that
two
bad.
2 years ago, like a rainstorm swept it toward the end and the wind came and was blowing tents across the fairground. And you know what? People didn't even notice. They just kept going. They're like, oh, okay. And it's just, I'm like, this is Oregon Pagan Pride. So, yeah. But I think it's because we brought Onwin here.
Yes.
And
everyone
water magic.
Onwin.
All
I
our
know.
Water magic.
So,
you should,
I don't know, whether,
should have thought about
I don't know
that.
Whether to blame her or you. Because you invited her.
It's
and
true.
She's out there. She showed
I love
up.
Her.
She showed up for her class. And she was like, I'm excited because it's raining. And then she's all thrilled because there was like a giant lake of a puddle forming just outside her workshop space. And I just felt like, I know she's going to summon the freaking lady of the puddles out there.
Yes.
So that's, yeah.
Well, and I heard someone mention that they went to another pagan pride and it was 93 degrees. And I was
I would
like,
rather have the rain.
I'll take this over 93 degrees any day.
Well, The best part is that we're actually at a very old amusement park.
Yes.
So it's
I
like
love it here.
In Portland, we're going to this very old, some would say rinky dink, I say shut up, amusement park.
This
that
is
was
the
part
best
of
amusement park.
Best place. And there's a Halloween swap meet.
I know.
Right now.
That
so
just
shocking that we actually
weekend.
Showed up for our podcast.
I know.
And didn't like ditch it.
They
to
were like
shopping.
Halloween shop swap meet. And I was like, so I probably won't be there. I'm going to be shopping and spending all my money.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So the background noise you're hearing is the rain and the witches running off to shop at the swap meet, leaving us alone.
Exactly.
But I can't blame them because that's where I would be if
Which,
I hadn't already. Which it also explains the Thriller music.
The Thriller in the background, yeah.
It just occurred to me, I'm like, I bet that's from the swap meet. Because I'm like,
I'm sure someone, they probably have like a spooky track.
Yes.
Playlist that they have going on.
Absolutely. But yeah, so like I said, this is a very special festival to me. I do not care that it is soggy. I love it. It is what brought me into community. And so I'm glad you guys are all here. There was a time, just being
stop
nostalgic, where... I want to say that 5 years ago, we stopped having 10 o'clock workshops because people didn't show up until like noon, maybe. And there were people here literally 10 minutes before 10 waiting for the workshops. And that was like so exciting Woo! To me. But it's pouring down rain and it does not matter. People are still following in for the parking lot. Just super excited to be here. And I love that.
Okay, yep. Hillary, every time Kanani starts turning her head away,
the goat.
I'm gonna smack her. I'm going to smack her
into
the goat.
She keeps doing this thing.
I know. I can't help it. I keep looking. So I get excited.
Those of you who listen to the podcast have heard the screaming goat. The rain is loud enough that you probably won't hear it.
You'll hear it.
But the mic
here.
Will.
Yeah.
We need like a blow, like a whatchamacallit, a loud.
Megaphone?
Thanks.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, loudspeaker? What is. A megaphone. So
that's
that we
the
can
megaphone.
Laugh.
We have a megaphone.
Yeah, we have
it's
it.
Sitting right there.
It's
seriously. I'm going to be so pissed at you when I'm editing this later and it's like, Kanani cuts out because she keeps going,
That's what I do. So we just wanted to thank everybody for coming and guess kind of what have you been up to lately, Courtney?
Courtney's been like all over the place.
You haven't done anything.
I haven't done much except I did 3 states in 1 week last
That's
year.
Not much.
That's your
only
fault,
a small. Only
oh
a
my
small
God.
Thing.
So no, actually I was it was in Massachusetts at the Ninefolds Festival, which is all it's open to anyone who identifies as female, and it is completely focused on Celtic mysteries. Kathleen Matthews is one of the guest speakers, and Jenna Talendru, who we need to have on the show because
yes.
she wrote a book called The Mythic Moons of Avalon, which is brilliant. And so it was great because I have not been to a festival where everybody identified as a woman. Normally I support those kind of retreats
right.
like for my job, but I've not been a guest before, so it was a very different vibe. And I got to meet and hear Jenna Green, who is one of my favorite, I will go ahead and say she's my favorite pagan artist. If you haven't listened to her, you should go find her music because she just sounds like she walked out of fairyland with a harp. And one of these days, Disney or Pixar will steal her from us and we will never be able to see her again without paying a lot of money.
I can see her at Disneyland though.
Well, she's going to be in Disney movies is what I'm saying. Not like,
I
not
understand.
Like this.
But then she'll go to Disneyland.
No, but then they get... Okay, whatever. Then they get sucked into, but not like in a thing like this. Anyway, so she said she'd be on our show next year with
Yay!
Her new album, which seriously is like this beautiful, beautiful, magical sound. So that was really great. And then I was in Atlanta for work and... got some my serious hoodoo mojo on. I went to Rondo's.
I'm
which
so
is this
freaking jealous.
It's so good in there. Oh my gosh, this 40-year-old hoodoo store. And that's really pretty much run by men. So people talk about like, you know, men being witches. This place is totally witchy. But here's the thing is they wouldn't call it that because they believe that they are Christians. But you walk in and you got a whole wall of candles that will do everything from bless all your family to hex all your enemies. A whole row of really books that are a little more difficult to find that focus a lot on herbs. And I actually had them make a spell kit for me, and 3 different men blessed it. So they're looking at me, they're like, so what do you need? And I told them what I was looking for, and he just halfway through puts his finger up, starts carving up this candle, sprinkling glitter and oil all over it, and then he's making an herb sachet. He's serious magic is in that room. It was really funny because my coworker and I kidnapped this Jewish guy and brought him with us. See, we were at this interfaith conference and he was asking me, I had a feeling he wanted to ask about, you know, about witchcraft. And I said, well, we're going to a hoodoo store. Do you want to come? He goes, I have no idea what that is. Yes. And so
that
I'm
is
like,
the right
be
answer.
That guy.
Is
be
correct.
That guy.
Yes.
So, be that guy. Jump
so
in.
So we're in the Lyft and the Uber and we're talking about all the spells. All of a sudden the Uber driver's turning down the music going, I mean, you talk about like the Bible Belt is where you don't talk about it, but seriously, they all want to talk about it.
Oh, they want to know.
They all
want
to know. Because, you know, he's sitting there. He's like, secretly going to press record on my phone, give those ladies 5 stars, because I know how I'm going to get that girl back now. You know, so it was so good. Then it was in New York for a couple days and got a new tattoo, which you can't see because I have to take my clothes off, and it's not
that's
that
a different
kind
of party.
She'll make us look at it later. Yes, I promise you.
I will.
All of a sudden, it'll be like, "Why is Courtney not wearing pants again?"
No, it's like, "Oh, it would not be wearing a top."
Yeah, I was like, "Wait, I thought the tattoo was on your back."
No, it was not on my back.
I was like, "What?"
It's happening.
Like, I have
I couldn't really snap my bra strap, so my coworker was like, "How are you doing with the bra?" I'm like, "Well, it's not really strapped. It's kind of hung myself in, and I just." Went to work.
Oh, because it's like right, yeah.
It's right in the middle where the clasp meets. And you know, because Hillary's a freaking canvas.
My whole back is done.
So, yes, that's what I've been up to. So now you know, new festival to go. Oh, my God. And I was driving back from the festival in Massachusetts, listening to Lorena McKinnon in like the middle of the night, and the trees are all curved over in this tunnel. I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling the Salem vibes.
Oh, I love that.
So good.
So good.
Well,
so
it reminds me that when you were talking about going into that store, it reminds me of when you and I went into Salem, Mass.
It was better than that. Okay.
It was so, but I mean, it was so much fun.
It was better
because
than that.
You go into the shops, and every other shops, if you haven't been there, there's like the kitschy ones. Right, where it's like, look, I have a coffee cup with a witch on it. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, I'm so fun. And then there's Lori Cabot's shop,
just like,
which
boom.
Is like you walk in and it's dark and there's the Ouija boards and the candles and the
it's
scents
really
and the
beautiful.
Incense and the smell hits you when you walk
crystal
in.
Crystal balls, like out of the Wizard of Oz.
So Courtney and I are looking at everything, and all of a sudden you see these little biddies with their little bags, and they come walking in like, oh my god. This is not the store we wanted to go into. And they just scurry out really quickly.
They're like, whoa.
They quickly learn, like, this is not, no. This does not have the picture frames with the little witch that says, Salem,
I can bring it to my niece because she's going to be a witch in her school play.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was, well, and that's the thing. We were there at Samhain, so it was packed with tourists. And so I'd like to go back to Salem when it doesn't
when
have all that going on.
Yeah,
not. No, you and I weren't there.
We weren't there at Salem.
No, I was there at Salem with Isabel.
Yes.
Okay, so no, it wasn't like that. So yes, you did get the feeling. That's
yes.
why I said it was, okay, never mind.
I want to go back. I mean, it was an amazing place. It was absolutely fabulous. But it was funny when you go into certain stores, because everyone goes into all the stores, and then they suddenly realize, this isn't for me. And then they quickly just scurry back out. Absolutely terrified.
Well, it was at Samhain. It was actually people were lined up outside the stores behind Velvet Ropes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Well, because everybody
like everyone
and their fucking mother was there
to
go inside. So, yeah, it was a big crazy. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk. What do you think about
me? What's been going on with Hillary?
Oh, man, I feel like all I have been doing is working. Work has been busy but good. I spent pretty much my entire paycheck on plants the other day.
Nice.
A store nearby was having, like, actually a remarkably good deal on plants, and I'm kind of, like, a plant fiend. And so I was like, yeah, I'll just get this and also this one. Oh, my God, this too. Oh, that one over there. And, like, pretty soon I was like, I'm, like, loading my entire back of my car. Look like a jungle. You can see, like, the jungle and then my dog's face, like a panther in the background. But now my house feels very green and happy. I did, like, a big cleansing on my house. I just have a new roommate moving in, so I wanted to kind of just, like, start a new, kind of get the energy from one in and out and the new one in. And it's really great. She has a cute dog, so we've just been, like, having dog hangs and doing cleansings and... And yeah, it's been good.
We might have to have some private plant classes.
I am performing.
I am the killer of plants.
I'm performing in Portland, Oregon on the 22nd, which is next Sunday, at A Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven. If no one has been there before, it is, or if anyone has been there before, it is a kind of underground artist space that's down near OMSI. If you search A Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven on Facebook, the events are listed, and it's with a cellist named who goes by Chelista, who's an incredible cellist. She does uses a lot of live looping. I'm going to do a little bit of a blood ritual, and there's some Buto dancers that are going to be there also. So it's going to be a really cool night. We're doing the same show up in Seattle a couple nights before, and then yeah.
And what night is that happening?
That's the 22nd of September, so next Sunday. Here in Portland.
We can put all that information on the website.
Yeah, we'll put it on the website. Yeah. But it's really cool, and we can On That Witch Life, our Facebook page, I'll link the event as well.
Yeah, quick interception. So since we're talking about plants, I do have my book recommendation of the episode. So this one's been out for a few years. I think I said before that I was trying to read all the books that are actually on my shelves that I've been ignoring for a long time. And this one is called The Plant Spirit Familiar. It's by Christopher Penzack. And it was really helpful. He's a very good, very accessible writer. And so it talks a lot about making relationships with different plants, particularly the ones that, as he say, grows in unplanned or inconvenient places. Most of them call them weeds, but he's like, listen, a witch's garden often looks like something that desperately needs weeding because you tend to let the things go. And I know that it made me really curious about some of the little flowers that are popping up in places and what to do. And so there's also rituals and oils and stuff. So since we're on the plant, this is a really good one to have in your collection.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you, Kanani?
My life has been consumed by
this,
children and soccer and this, yes. And the kids just did their altars for fall. So
awesome.
The fall altars. We had a relative pass away that we did another candle lighting for. So it's cool for me that they're starting to relate one to the other. So when something like that happens, they instinctually now are like, oh, now we need to, you know, say a blessing to help them, you know, cross over. And so that has been kind of going on. I've been doing a lot of, I notice I'm starting, I went through, when we did the kids' altars, I started organizing all my own stuff and finding all the stuff that I've had over years. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to like burn through things now because I got all excited about this stuff that I found and now I've already used it. So I'm like, have to start going buy
stuff.
This stuff. So I have a feeling that I'll be going to Erica's place and the Raven's Wing and Qmeb and a bunch of other places that I
like
to frequent.
I was just at Qmeb.
Yeah. To stock up on supplies.
I blame Erica for the plants because she was like, did you know? I went to Fred Meyer's and all these plants were like a really good deal. And I was like, shit. And I just like left her shop and went there and just like, and then now I don't know how I'm going to eat. No, I'm kidding.
You can eat your plants.
I'll eat my plants. None of them are edible. I'll die. What are you trying to do to me?
Yeah, right? Not everything is edible. We went through that.
I see.
Erica's podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did.
The disclaimer is for
the
me,
disclaimer,
by
like,
the way.
Please
because
don't
I would
eat
absolutely that. Be like, this
You're
smells
like, can
good.
I
wonder if
this?
It'll make my breath smell good. No, you'll die. Oh, okay.
It's like when you go to Lush and you buy bath products and you're like, could I eat this? It maybe tastes like, smells
I
like
I accidentally ate soap at a Pagan Pride in New York.
I believe that.
Yeah. So here's
Wait.
I believe that 100%.
Well, it's their fault.
What?
No, it was their fault. So here's what happened was, I was, so most of the places, most of the little tables in New York, people would put out little bowls of candy to get people to come talk to them. And so I'm walking by this other table where they have these little, what look like little cute candies, and they were actually soap shavings. And I was just like, ah! They were like, what? They were so shocked they couldn't even stop me until I said in my mouth, and they were like, oh my God, you
That's
just ate soap.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, it wasn't even like a table that was selling.
I am so gonna put random shit in my house for when you come over that looks like food, and I am so gonna feed it to you. 100%.
I'm never
That's gonna happen.
Anything in
that
your
is
house
happen.
Again anyway.
Absolutely.
But
you're gonna be like, here, have this, there'll be a little chocolate looking thing, and you're like, oh, that was X-Lax, sorry.
Oh. I'm like, that's fine, I'm going to stay in your bathroom
this is,
for 2 days.
This is, like,
I'm moving
yeah,
in.
Actually, that would backfire
this
on you,
is
literally
pigeoning
backfire.
Off, this is totally, like, going off of that random topic, but I have to share this because it's stuck in my mind and I love it so much. It was an article that this woman had written, and it was about she had come home, she had been traveling for the week from work, she comes home, and there's this, like, she's expecting the house to be trashed. Her kids haven't done anything. Her husband hasn't done anything. She walks in. She's surprised. The house is neat. It's orderly. It looks nice. Clearly, they had prepared it for her to come home. She was all excited. It even smelled good. And she's walking through the house, and she's like, what is that smell? Did you guys get candles? Did you get some, you know, air freshener? What is that? And the kids are like, oh, we found this great soap. We've been using it. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. And so she walks into the bathroom. It's a urinal cake.
Oh, my God.
Her
oh,
family
no.
had been washing their hands with a urinal
no,
cake
no, no,
almost
no,
the
no,
whole
no,
time
no,
she
no,
had
no,
been
no,
out
no,
of
no,
town.
No, 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 no.
And she... It's amazing. I mean, I was just like, that is so horrifying. She's and like, wonderful at the same... I mean, because it's not my family. I would be died. But of course... So like, she had to, like, deep
clean... An article, guys. It was an article.
She had to deep clean the entire house. She had to deep clean the entire house, like, made all of her family, like, shower three times. She's like, oh,
she should have just gotten my a new gosh. Family. She
exactly.
Obviously, this one is defective.
You're like, I like, return yeah. these. Does Amazon take this
peace
back?
Peace out.
Like,
peace out. I'm done.
Can yeah. I return my family?
But I love that so much. I've, like, retained that. So any opportunity
I
to have
I would
have
walked
that.
In there and been like.
I need exactly. to shower. Just to, like, deal with the fact that I've heard of this story.
Exactly.
What stage they live in.
What's I don't know.
You're never going there.
It's my favorite
we're never
state
going
now.
There.
It's my favorite state now.
If it's in Oregon, we're just going to move.
Yeah. Right. It was, but I read that because you just, as you read it, you die inside
you're
and you're
like oh,
no.
God.
But you can picture it at the same time. So, yeah, it's.
This
my
is this Witch Left podcast. We are professional. We discuss witchcraft.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of witchcraft.
Exactly.
Speaking of witchcraft.
Speaking of urinal cakes. Oh, no, we're going back off topic.
No, let's not go there again.
So one of the things that we did want to do is we wanted to have people be able to ask questions and be able to answer audience questions. We actually have had a couple of really good questions of people who have emailed us that we were going to kind of start out with and share. One of them was from a gentleman, and he said, I wondered whether you could discuss and inform about male witches. Although I see Wicca and being a witch as a completely balanced following, 50% male and female, or as some may see the spirit as genderless, even down here in Australia, most organized covens, groups, or communities are seeing male witches as some form of anti-female or just wanting to hate or copulate. As I'm none of these things, we are quite often labeled like this, so groups are weary, even though I'm sincere in my search of knowledge and togetherness. So I thought this was interesting because I do know I have... You hear a lot from all kinds of different people about the difficulty of finding a group. And I have heard that kind of like if males join a career path mm-hmm. that is typically female... It can be more difficult for them to be taken seriously, to even get the job, things like that, which I can absolutely see could happen in something like this with communities that maybe are predominantly female and a guy tries to come in and they're like, oh, is it because he's trying to pick up chicks? Is it, you know, is he, why
yeah,
is he here?
Yeah.
And I have heard this from other people before that they feel like they're not necessarily taken seriously. And so I think... I thought it was an interesting question to bring.
Well, there's two things here. First thing, there's one more line where he said, I've had groups say they will contact me in order to give outer circle information only to fall off the face of the earth. But first of all, do not take that personally. Because you got to remember, people running Wiccan groups are doing that usually on top of a full-time job
yeah.
or on top
yeah.
of having kids.
And
I
things
know that,
fall off the radar.
Things fall off
know?
The radar. I totally. Know when I was running a coven, it would sometimes take weeks for me to get back to people. And it wasn't because... I didn't want them to join. It was just honestly because I was busy. But I think first of all, I think, you know, witchcraft is really genderless. And, you know, it sounds like he may be running in some circles that might be a little more old-fashioned that are talking about the male and female binary where it's like in more contemporary witchcraft that's getting shattered more and more all the time. But I would also encourage him to be patient and try to be compassionate because, sadly, a lot of people who identify as female have run into most. It's mostly cis men that use that as an opportunity to pick up on people. And it's I think that there is sometimes it doesn't mean that that's always the way of things. Of course not. But it does mean that these groups may have had that experience, and so they're going to take their time before opening their doors. And so I would say have patience, but also if you're not able to find a group, just practice on your own. And there's so many good witches who identify as male out there. I mean, we just mentioned Christopher Penzack. We had Matt Oren on
Matt
Oren, a couple
yeah.
of months ago.
Chiron
Armand. And then we've got Devin Hunter,
yeah.
Jason Mankey. There's just so, I mean, even like the gentleman that I met at Rondo's, you know, there's so, there's so many excellent witches out there who are born and identify as male. And, you know, just, I just say, keep going and don't take it personally.
No, sometimes they're intentionally women centric places, their spaces, just like there are intentionally male centric places.
Yeah.
And I think too, like the resources exist out there. You were talking about a podcast that would be a good resource,
right?
Yes,
there's the Modern Witch podcast, which is Devin's podcast. That's very good. There's also one down at the Crossroads. Chris Orapello and his wife run that one. And then there's like, I'll definitely have it on the website, but I'm drawing, I think it's like Roots and Bones or something. It's run by a gentleman and his wife. And that's another excellent resource. And so if you can't, and then read the book Sons of the Goddess by Christopher Penzack. I'm not sure we're the ones that can really fully answer that because we all identify as women. Yes.
Well, and we also like try to be as gender neutral here to try and make it a space that both that men, women, and non-binary people feel comfortable coming to and being a part of. So I think that those resources exist, and I think that you know, just as if you are in an area that doesn't have a lot of resources, there are a lot of online resources. There's good books. You know, if travel isn't doable, there are definitely like digital and printed resources around. So maybe those, check out some of those.
And we have some people here in the audience that identify as male. If anybody would be willing to offer some advice to this
talk
person
on their experience, or
my other thing that I would add.
You can also comment if you don't want to speak in front of people. You could also go onto our Facebook page and leave a comment there, and we can direct the questionee.
The other thing that I would give is advice, because it's kind of the way that I went personally. I never particularly sought out a group to join. I don't know. That's just not me. And I have nothing against it. I have tons of friends that have joined groups, and I know of lots of amazing groups. But for myself, when I kind of practiced as a group, it manifested itself. I didn't go in with the intention of having or forming a coven. I just had like-minded friends, and we started practicing together, and suddenly it became its own thing. So I would say, if you really kind of keep coming up against these barriers, maybe just have a friend or two that you like to practice with and practice together. And then you might find that other people like what you're doing and they might join you. So don't be afraid to kind of do your own thing and worry too much about having to find a place you fit in, because sometimes maybe you're actually the one that's supposed to start the group where other people feel welcome and want to join. That's kind of what happened with me. Is it just kind of manifested that way? So I would say, you know, don't worry too much about seeking outside if you do have a handful of friends that you can just do things with. And
create
your own community. And maybe what you're creating, there are other people who also feel that void that might join in with you.
Yeah, and Australia, I mean, I don't know where he is in Australia. There might not be anything.
There might not be
him,
anything, yeah.
But I know that there is a lot, like the... In general, there are a lot of witches and pagan groups in Australia.
And there's also a lot of online communities. So, yeah. I mean, I'm part of a number of communities that are not based in the city that I am in, that I am very active in, that have been a big help in having that sense of community and having that sense of kind of support together and having a resource that aren't necessarily there, but I found very valuable in general. So there's lots of groups, there's lots of podcasts and books. So I think start there, and then I also found online groups or online communities, those people then were also able to help connect me locally because they had more resources. They knew, you know, I wish that we were local there and we were able to give, or we knew someone that was.
Bring them all to here.
Yeah, just everybody move to Portland. No, don't actually.
No,
yeah,
don't.
Please don't. Please don't.
I take that back.
I don't mean it.
We'll edit that out. Don't worry. Yes.
Friend and I have done before is video messaging with each other, basically like a FaceTime phone call or Skype, and be practicing, you know, ritual or doing spell work or casting our circles together live on the phone in video, where we don't have to be in the same room, but we're doing the same work and we're doing it together. And so if you can, if this gentleman can find like-minded individuals on an online group, they don't necessarily, like you're saying, have to be in the same city, but they can still, he can still be part of a greater community and a bigger coven by just reaching out to individuals that he meets in some of these groups.
Yeah. For our listeners, if you didn't hear that, I know the sound is a little hard, but the suggestion was you can actually do video chatting with people that that are part of online communities that makes it feel even more connected than just typing online. That there were spells cast and circles cast together.
Live streaming.
Yeah. So that you're having that connection that is a little more human than just behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
Check
out, like, look up for festivals in your area, meetup groups, and then there may be a pagan pride scene in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to those places. And
yeah.
When Courtney still lived in New York City, my daughter and I used to live stream her, and so that Courtney could play the guitar for her. And the first song that my daughter learned was "What Do You Do with a Drunken Sailor?"
Because it only has two chords, so I can play it.
And so she used to play it while my daughter would dance around in front of the camera.
She by the way.
And that was my
husband. The wholesome example started early.
Yes,
it did. She's turned out fine.
And
did turn out great.
my husband finally one day, he used to just kind of leave me alone, be like, oh, she's talking to Courtney. And one day he kind of overheard what was that. He's like, wait, what is she saying? What was that song? No, it's fine.
Shave his belly with a rusty razor? Honey, no, we don't do that to people. Yes, we do in the song.
So, yes, live streaming absolutely works. And it is a great way to stay connected to people. And absolutely, there's absolutely no reason you couldn't do a spell or a ritual or something like that, allow people to be included who maybe physically can't be there for whatever reason. 100%. That's a great suggestion.
Sacred Living Movement has a Sacred Brotherhood group retreats, and I think they may also have an online group. They do other things.
Can you say what it's called again?
The Sacred Living Movement has
Sacred Brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
So the Sacred Living Movement has a Sacred Brotherhood.
Annie Dalton's husband runs the Sacred Brotherhood Retreat. That would be a good resource.
There is a Sacred Brotherhood retreat. Okay.
I want to crash that.
I mean, I'm sure if they search that online, that info would be there. Yeah. So if you search Sacred Brotherhood Retreat or Sacred Living and Sacred Brotherhood, that might be a good resource too. Thank you for that. Does anyone here have any questions that they'd like answered or any advice they'd like?
I'll read one more, and so people can get brave. So we had one other one who said, "I'm reaching out because I have a very broad question. I think I'm witchy, but I don't know what to do." Which I think actually was the title of one of our podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm still trying
to figure it out.
I've felt this way for several years, and have, like any good entry level witchy person, read so many books. I've read Starhawk and Cunningham and Courtney. Sorry about that. And many others. I've watched lots of YouTube witches and listened to various podcasts. I'm still reading and learning and developing. But what I'm struggling with is how to reach into myself and find the magic. Does that make any sense at all?
Yes.
100% that makes sense. I've done ritual meditation. I have an altar. I'm learning to see the beauty in the natural cycle of the world, the wheel of the year. I've done a spell or two. I cast circles. However, I can't feel it. It's as though as soon as I admitted to myself that I believed in magic, I stopped feeling the magicalness of the world. So,
There's one more thing I think you ought to include.
Which one?
This.
Another thought that occurs to me. I was raised evangelical-ish, and sometimes I wonder if I'm looking for the rules to follow because that's what I'm familiar with. I know I won't find the same kind of rules in witchcraft, though I am still eager to find what feels right. My own rules, so to speak. I bet that there's probably everyone here can relate to one or every single thing that was brought up in here. So I 100% feel like this is just totally normal. Like, everyone, I think, at some point has felt this way. I think you're doing all the right kind of steps. You're seeking out information. You're seeking out knowledge, which is what, you know, I think we've all done. And I think that piggybacks on the not feeling the magic.
Pigtails.
I know.
Pigtails.
On not cute. Feeling the magic and also the background that she discusses having. I think that one of the things that you learn to let go of when you really start practicing magic is the concept of things being very tangible and like seeing things per se, like with your eyes, and you start to learn to become more intuitive and you start to learn to listen to things and realize, oh, that's a message. I'm not necessarily going to see it on a piece of paper, or it's not going to be something that I visually am looking at and I see, like I see a person next to me. It doesn't necessarily start out that way.
I also think too, sometimes we have this idea of what it should look like or feel like. Like we're like, oh, I should feel this thing. And it's not that
my light as a feather, stiff as a board, should really work.
Yes. I mean, like, and I think what happens too, I think that sometimes we end up, we have an idea in our mind of what it should feel like or what it should look like. And we focus so much on that we miss what it is actually feeling like. I definitely have been there where I'm like, is this, and when you're in that, I think there's a lot of insecurity when you start, because you're like, is this real? Am I authentic? Am I doing this correctly? Yeah. Like, is this real or is it all in my head? You know, I think there's a lot of self-doubt and questioning that happens during that time period. And I can, my best advice is that stop or try to stop finding what you think it should feel like and just be really present. It sometimes will surprise you in what comes. I mean, I think there have been moments in my practice where I was like, where it's not, the outcome was nowhere near what I thought it was going to be. And I think the reason I was able to get there was because I was not so focused on what it should be or how I thought it was going to be, and just allowed it to be as it was going to come, you know?
For me, I actually, for someone who has led as many rituals as I have, I actually don't feel a lot when I do rituals, and sometimes even when I do magic, I don't have the tingly feelings every single time. And I've learned that doing magic regularly is like taking vitamins. You know, you take a vitamin, you're not going to feel something immediately. But over time, you recognize that your body feels different, right?
It's holistic,
So the same. That's where I feel like it's with magic. When you practice regularly, you start to notice your world is different. You start to notice the things that you want start coming into it, and the things that you don't want go away, or even the things you think you want but are actually holding you back start to go away. So trust in it that way, and there are going to be some times when you feel like you're in a freaking furnace and you're burning up, but most of the time magic is actually pretty quiet and gentle. There's something else I'd be curious to, and I think this person probably needs to seek a reading about it. Chiron would be a good person to talk to, but I wonder if there's some ancestors that are blocking the magic, because this person says they're from an evangelical background.
Yeah, that's a really
good
point.
So if this is a very conservative background, I would, one, even if you've got the ancestor altar in place, just say, you're going to have to step aside. This is who I am, and don't be afraid, because a lot of times they're coming because they're scared. You know, I know that in my ancestors, there was a sense that was put on all the women is, you need to look a certain way and you need to find a man or else. And in doing my ancestor work, I realized my great-great-grandmother was a single mother in North Carolina. And so that there must have been a lot of terror around that. And so she's put on her daughter, don't be like me, get a man. And so therefore I need you to dress this way and look this way and act this way. And it just turned into an overall anxiety over the generations. And so it's like, when I realized that, I went, no, I can stop here. I am happily married, but my niece does not need to get married in order to live a fulfilling life.
Right.
And so there was me telling that to my ancestor, like, I love you and I appreciate that you put this, but this anxiety doesn't help us. So it needs to step aside. So there could be a sense of, depending on where these ancestors were from, of, okay, we knew this woman at the end of the road and everyone was scared of her and she was always in poverty because they thought she was a witch and we don't want you to be like her. So there could be that going on, in a sense of, I'm not going to be like her. It's okay for me to do this and I need you to step aside. So, but the way to do that, the other person, Andrea, who we had on the show a couple of months ago, both Andrea and Chiron do ancestor readings. So that might be a place to go. So I always think there's like a dual approach. There's one, the mindset, and two, the magic.
you know? And so to me, what's calling to me is that I think the ancestors need to move over mm-hmm. and give her some space to breathe in this. But I think also the mindset needs to change and say, you know, I'm going to explore this and just learn how it feels instead of coming in looking for a specific outcome.
I also think you can probably speak on structure. And like, I think, you know, I think there, we've discussed on the first episode and kind of the first couple episodes, like which pathway you take, you know, how you approach your own practice, whether you are going to more structured, yeah. like whether you're joining a coven, whether you're a solitary practitioner. And I think either way, you can still find rules and structure and you can build that into your practice. Like if for you, it feels, what feels good to you is having that kind of structured ritual, you can build that into your practice.
Oh, 100%.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a benefit to joining a coven and a tradition.
100%.
Because you've one, got some tools, but then you also have someone that you can talk to about these things. Like, I felt this, is that right? Something is happening here. It's not always easy to find the right coven. And so, but if you put it out there, you'll end up finding one. And then also, you know, don't underestimate the power of online schools, like in the fairy tradition, or FERI tradition, and then, or Temple of Witchcraft. You know, there's a lot of different schools out there that would be, it could be very helpful.
Yeah, there's a lot of help out there. If you can't find something or you don't find a good fit in your physical community, like right around your, like whatever location you're in, I mean, there's definitely a lot of, I think technology is such a powerful thing. We are able to like communicate globally with mm-hmm. different people and you may find your fit there, you know? So I think just be open, keep looking, realize that you don't have to feel something special for it to be real. It doesn't have to, you don't have to like get this sudden magic sense. Sometimes you feel things, sometimes you don't, and that doesn't make it any less authentic or any less valid.
And another thing, like for myself, one of the ways that I kind of started learning about stuff was there was a local occult shop, and I really befriended
stores.
The owner who worked there, and I can tell you they are more than happy to sit and chat with you and give you information. And also a lot of times they host workshops. I took workshops there. So if you're not necessarily, because for me I didn't necessarily want to be part of community per se at that point, but I was very interested and I really felt like I needed kind of an elder to kind of like, if I didn't understand or I was like, I don't know, who most of the time would just be like, that's perfectly fine, you know, and just always
give you that reassurance. Yeah.
Exactly. But I needed that reassurance.
If you're
going to
take up
the
shop owner's time, buy something.
Yes,
yeah. Don't
absolutely.
Go in and just talk. Go make sure that you're actually
go
supporting
in and buy something.
Support.
Even if it's just a couple candles.
Yeah. Yes. But that's always, I think, for someone who is kind of new and looking for reassurance, I think that's a really great kind of go-to.
And they're great resources
like
for like products, herbs, things you need for spells. You know, if
they'll sell it to you. They're like, here's your red candle that
shit.
You need. Yeah, 100%. So I think that, you know, that can be another good resource. It's kind of a tiptoe into community without necessarily going to a community event where you don't know anyone.
Absolutely.
So do we have any audience
questions?
Can be about witchcraft or us or anything.
Yeah.
Do you want to come up and talk in the mic?
You don't have to. We can repeat what you say if you don't want to.
It'd probably
talk
be better
mic.
If you just speak in the mic. Okay. Come on up. Yay!
Thank
so
you.
So brave.
Here, come on, have a seat.
I don't have like anything prepared necessarily.
We never do. Okay. I mean, you've heard
we
us.
Are,
all
are,
right,
you,
neither
have
do we.
Have you listened to us? Like, we are pretty much like off the cuff all the time.
I'm just thinking about. So it's hard to like generalize about the craft and communities because every community is vast and wide and there's all sorts of different things going on. And I think also the question was like, I'm curious, I want to hear more from this person, even what their experiences have been like, because as a person who is, I'm not male, but I was raised male and I don't, you know, I have a lot of male privilege when it comes to my experiences in the world. At the same time, I'm always read as queer, and so that's something that interacts with that. And I think about my experiences in spaces that are pagan or spaces that are, I don't know, witchcraft spaces. I don't know what to call them necessarily. And there seems like there's always male voices there, though. And there's a lot of authors that are male. There's a lot of schools and organizations that are founded by men. And I think that's interesting to hear from somebody that they're not finding those things. So I think those things exist, And it's also part of a bigger conversation about letting spaces be for other genders, and in particular people that are marginalized, which include women and queer people and people who are trans and people who are not cisgender. And I guess I don't have a conclusion other than that stuff is out there and you have to find it. And I also like the point that one of you made about make your own space. And it kind of actually aligns with this other person's question of like, where are you finding your community? Where are you building up your community? There are a lot of structures like stores. There's like communities involved around stores. There's communities involved in the internet. There's communities involved around different schools. So I think that stuff is out there, and I really hope that person finds those things, and also just maybe takes a step back and pays attention to how they're entering into those spaces, too. That's what I want to say about that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind is, for example, in planning, like, Pagan Pride Day, there are so many people in Oregon and California and Washington, and people who are practicing pagans, whether they accept the title or not, but I mean, tens of thousands of people, right? And so, but here, you can go anywhere all the time. You can find a ritual, you can find a community event, you can find a festival, you can find a psychic fair.
There's shops all over the place.
So yes, people come here. And we, you know, now we get usually about 1,000 people that come, which is awesome. It's 1,000 people. There's places in other parts of the country where there are no stores.
There's no one.
There is no one. People will drive 8 hours to get to a festival, and there are literally thousands of people who come because it's not readily available. And so this is like their one time every year that they get to come and meet like-minded people. And so they're huge festivals with thousands of people because they don't have it readily available. And so I think, you know, for something like what he's saying is, you know, it's hard because here we have so much we can physically attain. I mean, it's limitless online, but sometimes people want that physical ability to go and meet like-minded people.
Well, and I think his question is it's a totally valid question. And hopefully we've provided some resources for that. Obviously, if he has any other questions, he's welcome to ask it to us. And you know, we'll list all of these resources on the page as well to make sure that you know that he or anyone else interested in those resources, so they can find them. We always list everything on the website.
Yay, Carrie.
You often talk about resources for people that are new to Pagan Path. What about those of us that have been walking it for a long time and are looking for something a little easier for intermediate or advanced? Do you have any resources for that?
So the question was, we often talk about kind of resources for newer pagans, witches, people on a magical path, and there is a request for information for intermediate to advanced practitioners.
So I would recommend anything by Ivo Dominguez Jr., especially because he talks a lot about casting spaces. He's somebody else we need to have on the show.
Yeah, that would be great.
So,
yeah, I agree.
Anything by him. If it comes to devotional work, that's it. In daily practice,
okay.
Yeah. I'd have to come back on that, because
So Najah's book?
Yeah.
It's interesting. The beginning of that book is when I first started reading it, it's a little introductory, but she gets into some more advanced stuff. It's kind of we mentioned that in her episode that, you know, it kind of runs the gamut from you're starting out, you're trying to establish a practice, to how to continue to grow your practice. I think she would be a really good resource.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And you already have it.
Devin Hunter series, the Witch's Book of Power.
Yeah.
That would be another one. So here's the challenge with intermediate and advanced books. A lot of times publishers won't publish them because they want the books to be accessible to everyone. And so that can be really hard because people think all I can find are beginner's books. And so I encourage people, if you like what the author has to say, read a few things by them. There's usually going to be some work in there that's for more advanced people, but you're going to find that at least initially in the book or early on in the book, they're going to have to give some kind of beginner's parameters because they need to assume that there are people picking up the book who don't know anything about that. Now, certain authors self-publish, and so they will provide some things that are a little more intermediate and advanced. So I would recommend find the authors that really speak to you, and then see if they have either online classes or things they teach around the area. And some of them may have self-published work that will get more advanced.
You could also check out some of the local shops and say, like, because they have a lot of resource in some of the shops here in Ravenswing, QMEB. If you, you're like, oh, no, already so
Carrie's like, she's like, I bought all of it. It's all in my house. Where do I start? I love that. I'm
like, these are good. You're like, done. Did it already.
She's like, box check, bitch. Give me more.
How many of the workshops I've been to?
She's into a lot.
A lot of your
workshops? Yeah, she comes to my stuff. See, Kanani, people like me.
It's not so true.
No.
But that's a good, true. I mean, honestly, that's a good question. And we'll definitely try and, like,
start asking around,
I think that's a good point. I know we do have listeners that are a little further along in their journey, and so I mean it would be good to have some more advanced resources. So we'll definitely
But I would certainly just write, like, off the top of my head, Evo and Devin would be two I recommend if you don't have them on your shelves. Get them on your shelves.
The Janet and Gavin's Progressive Witchcraft. Actually, do you have that one? Yeah. I yes, yes. That's how I recognize you. Okay, yes.
Long enough, you know, you eventually
Well, and you want
to also just because I happen to know Carrie and I know her background, I would also check out Sisterhood of Avalon because it is that you can do some to take class. I'm facing the mic so people can hear me. You can do things online. Then they do have different gatherings and a retreat annually, and that's some pretty heady academic stuff. And so I think if you're looking for more adept, it might be time to start looking for a specific tradition that can help you go a little bit deeper as opposed to, so I would definitely check out Sisterhood of Avalon.
Yes, we did it. We found a thing.
Yay!
I saw one hand up.
Copper Cauldron, yep.
Yeah, that only does advanced stuff.
Ooh. Okay, so Christopher Penzack.
Copper Cauldron. And it's not just his books. He also puts other
people. He puts out other books, but there's some advanced stuff there. That's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
One last question we can squeeze in. Yeah.
It might sound really old school, but Drawing Down the Moon. Have you read
that? Yes.
Drawing Down the Moon is a great book.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful because you've got, at this point, it's definitely, I would call it a historical reference for how people practice. Margot was a friend of mine, may she rest in power, and I think she would tell you, you know, just to keep, you know, make that as a starting point, but just keep reading. But I feel like it might be time to get deeper into a more specific tradition if you're looking for something more in depth. No.
I just have a last comment on the second question that you read.
Can hold on a second. Let's go.
So this is my comment to the question of the newer kind of beginner witch.
Can you lean a little closer to it?
I've never particularly identified as a baby witch, and I don't really like that term because I think we're all born into what we're supposed to be, and it's a matter of living our life until we recognize that, and it sounds like this person is now at that place. They're feeling that pull and that. So they've read the beginning books and they're just kind of learning how to apply that. And the thought in my head has just been mulling as the discussion has gone on. And I really feel like the message that this person needs to hear is that it's time now to take action. The feeling will come as you work into the practice, but you need to get out of your head.
Yes.
Yep.
So all the information that you've been absorbing, it's now time to put it into play. Put it in your life. Manifest it, even if it's a small thing. You know, start small and build, and the feelings will come, and the magic will come. 100%. And it'll show itself to you when you're ready to hear it.
100%. No, that's great.
You have to wrap it up.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. It's kind of like what Hillary was saying with you have to try and get out of your own headspace of what is supposed to happen and just kind of start living your life and watch what happens and realize that things are happening. So try and get out of your head enough to see what's happening.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we have just concluded our first live podcast. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
This was pretty awesome. And I want to say we really appreciate you guys being here. And we actually have some cards that we have made that we all contributed 3 different spells. So each card has a spell with our signatures in it.
And one of our stickers.
Fancy little stickers. And then come October, we're actually going to be selling the spells and stickers online as well for people who couldn't be here to get them today. So
they're $5.
They're $5, and you get a spell that was written by one of the 3 of us.
We have 9 different spells, so you can get more than 1 different spell.
And we know of at least 3 cars that have our stickers on the back. So we are very excited about that. So please feel free to put our sticker on the back of your car or anywhere else you would like it. So anyways, thank you for coming, and we will see you guys the next podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us on the 1st and 3rd Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes, or to ask your burning questions for us to answer in a future podcast.